be happy. In every life we have some trouble.
Hello, this is Gail Moskowitz, and I thank you for listening to Mental Health Matters. The topic of today's show is, how does divorce affect children? We talked about this 2 weeks ago, and then last week we talked about what does it mean to be a mean mother? And I want to get back to the questions that were subsequent to doing the first show. And I have people send in some very interesting questions, and I do want to address them. And I told you that I would address specifically how to talk to our kids, what to do to lessen the effects of divorce, and we'll get to that in a minute. Mental Health Matters is a program dedicated to issues pertaining to mental health, interpersonal relations, addiction, sex and sexuality, and discussing healthy ways in which to live a more thoughtful and emotionally honest and fulfilling life. This week, we will highlight divorce and its effect on children. Specifically, I will address how to help children navigate through this. The number at which to reach us today is 649-9737, 649-9737. I hope you'll call in with your questions. Mental Health Matters comes to you every Thursday at 1 p.m. on WRIR 97.3 FM. You can also listen to the program in real time by logging on to WRIR's website, www.wrir.org. The show will be available for you to listen to this evening, along with all the past shows, by logging on to my website, mentalhealthmatters.web.officelive.com. I'm happy to send you a link to my site if you email me at yourmentalhealthmatters@gmail.com. You can also get to my website or to my email address by logging on to WRIR's website and simply clicking on Mental Health Matters. Also, I'd really welcome and appreciate any comments, questions, or suggestions you have for a future show. So please pass those along to me. This is Gail Moskowitz. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and today we're highlighting divorce and its effect on children. So I got a few questions after I did my last show, and I want to get to the first one. The first question was, how do you get your child to identify what he or she is feeling and to put what he or she is feeling into words, into feeling words, so that you can address the person who asked the question wants to know, how do I address what he's feeling? If he's angry, if he's sad, if he's scared about this. It's a really good question. So I want to just tell you a little story, and then I'm going to talk about how children process emotion, and I'm going to talk about how children use or don't use words to describe what they're feeling. So when my daughter was in kindergarten, my daughter who's now 16 and a half years old and just got her driver's license yesterday, and I'm going to do an entire show on parents dealing with their children having their driver's licenses. So when she was in kindergarten, I went to her school to help with lunch. And it was really the first time she'd experienced my being in her space in her kindergarten class, where she was kind of making her way as her own entity. And while I was there, while I was helping with lunch, I went over and chit-chatted with her friends and tried to, you know, make some contact with her. And she was really not very nice and kind of was just bratty and mean, and I was really surprised because I had never experienced her that way before. So I finished doing lunch, and the day ended, and I picked her up from school, and she got in the car, and she was her usual bouncy self. And at some point I said to her, "Sweetie, why were you so mean to me? Why were you so mean to Mommy when I was at school for lunch today?" And she said, "Mommy, you made me nauseous." And what I realized was that she was describing literally how she felt. She had no words for it. It made her nervous. She did not know how to pay attention to me and pay attention to her new group of friends. She couldn't redirect her attention. She didn't know how to put me into the middle of her group. And what's interesting is that that has been, in some ways, a habitual issue between me and my daughter as she's grown up. She's not good at sort of managing competing groups. But what she said to me was so telling and so important, because at 5, at 6, at 7, as children move into the world, as they move into having relationships that are separate from us, they begin to, well, do a lot of things. They begin to define themselves separately from us, but they really do not have the sophistication or the articulation to describe the experiences that are happening to them. So now let's go back, okay? This is Gail Moskowitz. You're listening to Mental Health Matters. We're talking today about divorce and its effect on children. If you'd like to ask me a question today about this topic, or, you know, give me your thoughts, 649-9737, 649-9737. And I'm answering the question, how do you help your children put what they're thinking, feeling, needing, and wanting into feeling words? So first of all, I know grown adults who cannot identify anger, fear, confusion, loss. They don't have words. So we're talking about, if you're talking about a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old, an 8-year-old, you have to put yourself in their shoes. Can they identify what those things are? So it is your job then, not just to ask them what they're feeling, but to begin to give them words for what they're feeling, and to begin to reframe and redirect what you see them doing that might indicate a feeling. So for instance, without making them have to interact with you on it, let's say your child comes home that night, and let's say you know that they're having a hard time. Let's say you know that they got into a fight with one of the kids at school, or they deliberately, you know, smacked a friend, or let's say they come in that night and they're pouty and hard to get along with and don't want to eat their dinner or toss a toy or just, you know, are hard to get along with. And your intuition about that is that there are some things going on. And it would then be incumbent upon you not to say, what's going on? Why are you slamming your things around? Because a child will not be able to answer that. In truth, adults sometimes can't answer that. So then you would say to your kid, you know, sometimes when people are sad, they act angry. And sometimes when people are sad, or even when they're angry, or when they don't know what they're feeling, but something bad is going on in their life, sometimes when things are bad going on in your life and you don't know what to do, sometimes you know what people do. They stamp their feet, or they refuse to eat dinner. They just, oh my gosh, sometimes they might even smack a friend. And really, what it means is they might be feeling very sad or mad that something bad is happening in their life. And you know what's going on in your life right now, because mommy and daddy are getting divorced, that's kind of a sad thing or a scary thing. And it really is going to be okay for you to tell me anything you're thinking and feeling about this situation. But when you act in really mean ways, nobody's going to really want to be around you. So you're going to have to find a better way. You might have to find a better way to express your bad feelings if that's what's happening. And then you got to move away because you can't hound them. They're listening. You've given them information. They're listening. Or you want to catch them in a good mood. You seem to be happy today. You seem to be satisfied today. You seem to be in an upbeat mood today. You're giving them words. When you want to describe what's going on with you, you use words they can understand. I'm really happy tonight because when you came home from school and you put your books away and got started on your homework and then were nice and sat down for dinner, it made me happy. And I hope it's because you're feeling happy today, too. You don't want to belabor and constantly talk about what's going on in the child's life, that you're getting divorced, something's changing, there's loss, they're confused, but you want to incrementally begin to talk about those things and how people might feel if those things are happening to them. Then it is okay to have a little lesson about emotional words. If you email me, I will send you a copy of a whole page of good emotional words. But don't harp because they can't take all of that in. And they cannot take it all in. They have to take in little parts of it. If they take it all in all at once, it just is so confusing to them because they have no ability to glimpse the future and understand how what's going on now is going to affect them a year from now, a month from now, next week. They can't put all that together. I hope that that's helpful. This is Gail Moskowitz. You're listening to Mental Health Matters. We're talking about divorce and its effect on children today. If you'd like to ask me a question, please call 649-9737. Okay, so then another question a listener asked, and I thought it was a good one, is she said that she personally, that she and her husband are divorcing, and that while she had thought that she wanted to be divorced because her husband had cheated on her several times, she just sort of thought it would be a relief. And what she then really found was that she missed him very much, and she just felt like it was a loss, that her marriage, that she was mourning the loss of her marriage and mourning the loss of an intact family. And she just inside of her felt terribly sad and wanted not to constantly be sad around her children, and wanted to know if her children were feeling the same loss that she was feeling, because they seemed to be just going on like nothing was wrong. So I thought it was a great question, and I want to respond to it. Yes, as adults, we feel whatever we feel. So in this case, we feel loss. She feels loss. Well, she can put the feelings together with the cognition, with the thinking process. She knows what's going on. She knows that her marriage is disintegrating. She knows what that means. She knows she's losing her companion. She knows that she might feel lonely, sad, scared, confused. She knows that all those things can be happening. And she has words for all of those things. And she's, you know, she might cry. She might talk to a friend. Whatever it is, she has the adult ability to look at the picture, deal with it, move through it, and please, hopefully, get through it and move on. And in truth, getting through this and moving on is the best thing you can do for your children. You cannot stay stuck forever. It is not good for your kids. They will never know what to think or what to feel. Okay, but children don't have the same ability to think about how something is going to be. They do not have the ability to take what's going on now and see the future, as I said before. So children take loss in incrementally. So what they might now feel is the loss of seeing a parent all the time, but they don't really understand the ramifications of it all at once. And so what you'll find with your children is that they have to come back and mourn this loss at each stage of their lives. And as they get more words for it, they're going to be able to get a bigger picture and a better understanding of what's happened now and how it is affecting them as they move through their life. But they cannot put all of that together all at once. So as the adult, yes, you might be sad, you might cry, you might feel a million things, and you can't be a zombie. You can't, like, be a robot, not a zombie, but a robot, and pretend like nothing's the matter. But you need to find an outlet for managing the barrage of feelings separately from your children. If you're spilling over all the time, you need a therapist. You need a good friend. You need a group. You need a divorce group. You need whatever it is you need, but you cannot be laying the preponderance of your loss on your children. They should not be keeping you going. That is not their responsibility. Do not do that to them. You need to find a happy face to some degree, and you need to be able to communicate to your children that you're optimistic that we'll get through this as a family. And we'll be okay, and they're going to be okay, and you're going to take care of them. And you need to be out of your fog enough that you can pay attention to what your children are dealing with. So as they deal with loss incrementally, you can manage it. And let me give you a really good example of some of the incremental loss you might see. It might be that, that your child's going back and forth to, your spouse moves out and your child is spending half the week with you and half the week with your spouse. And so their loss is different than yours. They don't have an intact house to live in anymore. And they have to leave mom every week to go to dad and leave dad every week to go to mom. And they have to have a different life in each place, and that's not easy on children. I'm not saying it's not doable. I'm just saying it's not so easy. So they're sort of dealing with that loss on a constant basis. Once they get used to it and they deal with it and it feels normal to them, it may they're not going to feel it profoundly, hopefully, but that stuff is there. And then what might happen is that that you come to a holiday. And so, all of a sudden they have to deal with who they're going to spend that holiday with. And then they have to deal with that. Where you might be thinking about that for 6 months before it happens, they're not thinking about it 6 months before it happens. What's interesting about that sharing holiday stuff is that even adults who grew up in a divorced home still have that problem of trying to decide where they're going to have their holidays, and they're still trying to be equal to mom and dad. And I always think that's interesting. So I hope that that's helpful to the person who wrote me that question. Another person asked about dating and about what to do with your children when you start dating. I call it redating. And that's a great question. This is Gail Moskowitz. You're listening to Mental Health Matters. We're highlighting the issue today of divorce and how it affects our children. It's an important topic. So many children live in split homes, And so many children are managing the effects of divorce. If you have any questions for me today, I really would love to hear from you. 649-9737, 649-9737. So how do you redate? And I'm going to just say a few things here. I'm not going to go into the topic deeply, but a few things. One thing I want to say to you is that at the beginning of meeting somebody and going back out to date, I want to tell you that you've got to keep your children out of that. It cannot be something they can manage or deal with. And you cannot introduce your children to every single person you go out with. So what do you do about that? Well, one thing I would say is that if your children spend time with the other spouse, well, that's when you begin the dating process, when they're at the other spouse. At the very least, that you send them to a good friend's house, or you just at the beginning as you begin doing this. They don't need to get caught up in your hopes and disappointments. They don't need to be around people that you don't really know very well. They just don't need all of that. They have enough development going on in their lives. They don't need your development, your developmental issues too, the developmental issues of figuring out how to redate. They don't need to be dealing with all of that. So as you move along in the dating process, it is important that before you introduce your children to whoever you might be dating, that you only allow your children to be as connected to the person you're hanging out with as you are committed to hanging out with them. So, in other words, if you've gone out with somebody three times, don't introduce that person to your child and take them on a date with you, because, you know, or leave them at that person's house or have them meet their children, because that's way too complicated for children. Establish a relationship. If you get to a place in a relationship where you want to kind of try to see if you can make this next relationship a committed one, then you can introduce your children at the level, you know, at what makes sense. And then as you spend more time, they can spend more time. If it ends and it's disappointing, well, then everybody has to deal with the disappointment. But you cannot do that constantly to your children. You cannot have them sleeping at your new friend's house until you have made some commitment to moving into that person's life on a full-time basis. It's unacceptable. Your children have enough developmental issues. They don't need to be dealing with your sexuality or your need for connection with somebody else. They can see some of that because you're a person too. And once you have begun to make a commitment to someone else, your children can't be responsible for making a decision about whether or not you can be with that person. You're in charge. You're the adult. If you're creating a healthy relationship, then you can move your children into that healthy relationship, and your children then have to deal with that. It's hard for kids, so please move slowly and be in charge, and don't give them the ability to make adult decisions. It's not good for them. Okay, this is Gail Moskowitz. We're talking about the effect that divorce have on children today. You're listening to Mental Health Matters. So let me get to one more question before our time is up. So one of the things that happens to children in regard to all of this is they still have to have a loving relationship with both their parents. Okay, so I don't know how strongly I need to say this, because I would think you'd get it. But if you don't like your ex-spouse, if you hate your ex-spouse's guts, and you constantly or ever really tell your children this, you are doing your children a terrible disservice. They are part of that person. They are as much a part of that other person as they are a part of you. and you want to complain about your spouse, find a friend to complain to. Go to a therapist and complain, but do not lay it on that child, because their parent is just as dear to them as you are to them. And you would not want them to have to feel divided loyalties. It is the single most mind-messing thing you can do to a child. It is the single most destructive thing you can do to a child, to ask him to break the covenantal bond that he or she has with their other parent. They want to love, and they want to be loved by both of you, whether you love that other person or not. So what do you do if that person's not safe? Okay, then you can keep them safe. You can keep your child safe if that if your ex-spouse is drinking or doing drugs or living a lifestyle that's really, really scary. You can keep that child safe, but you still cannot say horrible things. You can say that your ex-spouse isn't safe or that he's got problems he needs to deal with, but you never lay that on that child. It's not good for them. This is Gail Moskowitz. You're listening to Mental Health Matters. I hope you will tune in next week. We're talking today about divorce and the effect on children. And you know what? I have four more questions, so we'll get back to this topic again. It seems to be a topic that people really had a lot of thoughts and questions about. I really thank you for listening today. I hope you'll listen next Thursday at 1 o'clock to Mental Health Matters. Thank you very much.
Be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you